good morning again to everybody, visitors alike. Got a few visitors here this morning. We welcome you. Reaching Out Ministries welcomes you. Before I get into my message, I have a word of encouragement to anybody who sends me any information and the Lord puts it on your heart to send me something. Please be obedient to that. You might not think you're doing anything or it's worth anything, but I'm working on something all the time and I need confirmation sometimes, and that is huge for me when I get an email from Brother Tom or Gary or Dwight or Brother Steve, whoever. They send me something that's so timely, it's unbelievable. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And if I'd ask you, why did you send it to me, you'd probably say, well, I just felt like it, or I got led to, or whatever it is. Anyway, I don't want you to send me all kinds of stuff now, but be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do. If the Lord puts something on your heart, there's a reason for it. Because I work through confirmation, and confirmation is important if you're in, because you've got the devil hammering you. Maybe you shouldn't preach this. You'll offend people. Maybe you shouldn't say that. Well, from where I stand, I don't really... There's a difference between being kind and being nice, you know that? Being kind, I can tell you the truth in a kind way, but be nice, I can never really tell you the truth because I have to be nice to you. So I won't tell you the truth, but if I'm kind, I can present the truth in a gentle way where I'm kind, but still not take away from the truth. But before I get into my message, I want to make something very, very clear. And that is, there's a big difference, and today I want to talk, my message would be entitled, How to Be a Follower of God, or Become a Follower of God. That's what the Bible instructs us, become followers of God. Apostle Paul even said, become followers of me, because he was so sure in what he was doing following God that he could say that. Could I say that? Don't follow me, guys, please. But I'm getting there, step by step, precept by precept, but it's slow. Paul was there very quickly. At least we think so. I think so. So there's a big difference when a born-again believer struggles with sin and tries hard to separate himself from his sinful choices. And there are people like that amongst us. And God gives grace for that. He does. Versus a born-again Christian, and it's a believer, who practices sin by deliberately making bad choices. Now you might say, well, that's, how's that? Well, let's not be too pious here. Some of us have made bad choices deliberately, so we'd fall under that category, even though we would not like to label ourselves as that. But we have deliberately and by choice done some bad things as believers. So let's be honest. We have all had experienced both of these problems, both sides of the issue, whether it's you're struggling with something or you deliberately did something as a believer. And I'm sure some of us still struggle with some of these issues. And I will talk about this today. So you see, the entrance into heaven was made easy for us. That was given to us as a gift. So salvation, by the God the Father paid a heavy, heavy, heavy price for our freedom, for our free ticket into heaven, by sacrificing his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who made that incredible payment for all mankind, not just us here, to receive the free gift. You cannot and will not ever, ever be able to earn your salvation. You can't. There is the price. You're slapping God in the face even if you try to earn your salvation. Only if we humble ourselves and call upon his name, he performs the greatest of all miracles and saves us. That's then, if that has happened to you, you've humbled yourself, you've cried out to God, he saved you, that case is closed. It is finished, that part. Now, I'll put the one scripture up, Galatians 3:26, and I want you to read this with me. For, we'll put we there instead of you. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So that's how he's died for the whole world, but there's a condition. Only by faith do we become the children of God. Let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for a beautiful morning that we are able to come in freedom to worship you and to lift you up. Lord, we want to put all things aside and just lift you up. Lord God, we ask that you will come against any demonic spirits, spirits of Goliath, spirits that hinder with fear and with anxiety. I come against any spirit of mistrust, of unbelief. In Jesus' name, they have no room here. I release the power of the Holy Ghost here that is made available for us. We ask you and invite you to be here in our presence and in our midst, and to make sure that we preach no error, that this word will be clear and it will flow through my lips. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. You may be seated. I'll repeat that, Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God with one condition, by faith in Jesus Christ. So either you're saved right now or you're not. Only two people in this world, the saved and the lost and the saved. But my message is not about that. I just wanted to lay the foundation. This is what it makes, what it needs to get saved. You call upon the name of the Lord. And there's only one reason you call upon the name of the Lord. You see that you're in dire straits. You need help. And you call from a heart knowing that I need help. Then Jesus performs a miracle, gives you a gift. And it's yours for eternity. But I want to preach today on the following God part, on what the message would be, become followers of God. It says, but God has so much more for us. He has rewards, treasures in heaven, positions of authority to be rulers of kingdoms in the world to come. Even now already, you can get into that status. And there's a condition to that too, and that is to obey his voice. And I'll get into that. And yes, those treasures, they have to be earned, unlike your salvation. Salvation you cannot and will not ever earn. Treasures have to be. There's a price that comes with that. Living in the Spirit gives you salvation. Walking in the Spirit will give you the rewards in heaven. There's a difference. But there are giants in our way that keep us from achieving the will of God in our lives. And we will, while we are in this body, we will fight that fight. But we will overcome if we continue that fight. And again, do not confuse this with salvation. The walk, the living in the Spirit and the walking in the Spirit are two different things. And those giants or demons can be starved out by prayer and also by quit feeding them, by giving into the desires or the particular lusts and desires that feed those demons. Quit feeding them and you'll starve them out and they'll leave. I'm talking from experience. I've done that. You just stop feeding that. When that lust head comes into your mind, it starts here. They plant the thought. You can either feed it by doing what it planted, or you can say, no, in the name of Jesus, I will not do that. You start there. Every time that thought comes along, you tell it where to go. And Jesus only gives you the power if you do the first part. No, you have to say no. Then he kicks in. And afterwards, you're filled with actual joy that you did not succumb and fall to that. Versus the guilt and the shame that you experience when you do fall into that crap. So watch yourselves. And I'm here to give this message for the coming war that's coming. There's a war coming. And it's going to get intense. I can tell you this. It will intensify. And we cannot be caught up in the cares of this life if we fight this war. And this is where the soldiers of Jesus Christ will come in. So this spirit, Brother Dwight sent me an interesting thing where I got some of this information out of it. The spirit of Goliath, he was the champion of the Philistines. And if you remember the story, how he brought fear into the camp of David, into the camp of the Israelites, it basically paralyzed the whole army of Israel because of his threats. And all he had was threats. He really never followed through with anything except challenge them. Verbally. Every morning he would come out, challenge them. And that spirit that brought this camp basically paralyzed that whole army is true for us now. It's paralyzing us if we have allowed it. It has brought the spirit of fear and anxiety within our ranks, causing strife, and listen to this, and huge divisions within the church, pretty much paralyzing us, where we collectively, as a church, I'm not saying there's not individual churches, individual people doing the fight, but they're doing it individually and burning out. If we would collectively, as a group, fight this spirit, this battle would long be done. But no, we're too busy trying to decide what doctrine is right, how to baptize, what clothes to wear, if the gifts of the Spirit are still for us, if assurance of salvation is true, if the rapture is true. We're fighting this. Don't worry about that stuff. Worry about one thing, and that is to spread the gospel through the power of the Holy Ghost. But before I get in to the part of how we need to rise up and fight those giants, we need to focus on our personal lives. Where are we personally? So first things first, let's get our personal lives aligned with Jesus Christ and his will, what he has for all of you. What's his will? In 1 Peter 4, verse 17, out of the King James Version, it says this: "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" So the time has come. We need to clean up our act. Titus 3, verse 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly." That means always. "That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." It's not talking about legalism here. I mean, I'm going to explain this. "These things are good and profitable unto men." They're good unto men. There's a reason for that. This means the good works of the Holy Spirit that he works through us. That's what it's talking about. Because when they asked, the disciples asked Jesus, "What must we do to do the works of God?" He said, "Believe in him whom he has sent." From that stems all things, if you truly believe in God. In Matthew 16, verse 27, Jesus speaking, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then he shall reward," it's rewards, not salvation, rewards, "every man according to his works." In other words, how much you have allowed the Holy Spirit to work through you. And I'll prove that to you through Scripture. I've got Scripture for that. In Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 6, it says, this is where my title comes from, "Be you therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, who's he writing to? As followers of Jesus, as children. "Serving and following God is a choice that you have to make after you become a child of God. It does not come just because you became a Christian. You have to choose to walk that path now." And then it says here, it's talking about, "In walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. So that's what Christ did to God by sacrificing himself for our sins. Now listen to this next part. It's talking to believers. "But fornication," you know what fornication is? I'm sure you all know. "And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as saints." He's talking to believers here. Let that not be named among you. Look at the extreme. Fornication and, let's say, covetousness. Covetousness is an insatiable desire to find fulfillment in things. Is anybody guilty here of that ever? Or desiring other people's things. Is anybody guilty of that? We don't need to raise our hands. But is anybody guilty of that ever here? It gets pretty serious here. Listen to the next part. Have you ever been guilty of any of these three since you've been saved? Fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness? What about the next three? Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. I'm guilty. Which are not convenient, but rather give thanks. Verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance. There's a big difference in inheritance and in entrance. Inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, you might be saying, so you're saying I can be a Christian and do those sinful things and still get to heaven. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon who? The children of disobedience. Are you a children that walk in disobedience? Watch what's coming next. Remember the prodigal son who squandered all his inheritance. You know the story. He asked his father for his inheritance. And he squandered it on where? Prostitutes and riotous living. He was a whoremonger, an unclean person. He was covetous. He wanted it all while he was a son. He belonged to the father. There was no doubt. But he had his moment with the pigs that brought about his repentance, his change of mind, in other words. He never lost his son status. So if you have become a son or daughter of God and you fall into a lifestyle like that, you will eventually repent. And I'll again get into that. Because God will engineer the right circumstances. He allows you to have your moment with the swine or the pigs, if you will, within your life that will bring about repentance. He will engineer that, believe me, if you are a child of God. And he causes his wrath to come upon those children of disobedience while they are on earth in this physical body to eradicate these sinful deeds from their lives so they do not enter the kingdom with these filthy deeds. Although they will suffer loss, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All whatever they have done will burn, but they themselves will be saved, as so by fire. And if you call yourself a believer in Christ, this is where the tire meets the pavement. This is where it's scary. And if you call yourself a believer, and I will never take the authority or the judgmental part of saying, when you say you're a believer, I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, you said you're a believer, I believe you're a believer. But there is a scripture that says, by their fruits you shall know them. And it says here, this is my take on it, and I have a scripture for that also. If you call yourself a believer in Christ and you do not get chastened by the hand of the Lord, if you do practice those sinful deeds aforementioned, the Bible says, then you are, pardon the word, bastards. And this is where it gets scary. I would urge you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus very quickly if that spells your name. In Hebrews 12, verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all of us have been partakers. We know what happens when we do not live up to the way we should have, and we did things against contrary to what God has called us. We get chastened for it. I've experienced it, and I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about. Then it says, then you are bastards and not sons and daughters. So if there is no chastisement in your life while you're living a sinful life, you need to be really worried. In Romans 2, verse 4, it goes to the other side of the spectrum. Or it says, or despises you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. That means his patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So he starts with his goodness. He gives you his goodness to lead you to repentance from your deeds. And then if that doesn't work, plan B comes into act. I'll get into that also. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. That's believers he's talking to here. So all the things that you have done in this body, one of these days you'll stand before God and give an account for them. But how do we do good is then the question. Well, simply we walk by faith, trusting in the living God. That is what it means to do good. In Galatians 5, 16, verse 16 to 25, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things that you would, because there's a fight on. And if that fight is not on within you, chances are the Spirit of God is not there. But if that fight is always within you while you're doing bad things, you know the Spirit of God is within you because he's the one that puts up that fight. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law," it says. So here is my point in proving that it's not talking about works of the law that he's talking about, that you'll give of good works that you'll get rewarded for. These works are the works of the Spirit that he works through you. It says, so it's not the works of the law that will be your good deeds. It's the walking in the Spirit that will bring about the fruit that brings the good works. But the works of the Holy Spirit working through you that will bring great reward. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. They're adultery, they're fornication, again, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, that means anger, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And that's a lot of things here. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit, and the word inherit, the kingdom of God. If you do practice any of these sinful deeds as a believer, God is going to give you your portion with the hypocrites. I did not give Brendan that scripture, but you can look it up yourself. Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her." Who is he talking to? He's talking to the church, to his people. "My people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues." So there's a condition and a result of what will happen if you continue down a lifestyle like that. God will chasten you to the point where you will not enter into the kingdom with any of that stuff. You will be free from it. But you will lose out on your rewards. And he will eventually get you out of that lifestyle when you have your moment with the swine, just like the prodigal son. But the fruit of the Spirit, here we go back to the fruits. It's love, it's joy, peace, long-suffering, which means patience, gentleness, goodness, faith. Even faith, you just need the faith of a mustard seed. And the rest is a gift that is given you. It's a gift of faith. And then there's meekness, which means humbleness. That means you possess all power, just like Moses, but you're meek enough that you do not think you're above anybody else. Temperance, that means self-control. Against such, there is no law. So why is it important to bear those fruit? Why do we need to bear fruit? You know, when we have fruit trees, if you'd have a yard or a place all full of different kinds of fruit trees, they're not just there to hang and look at. Those fruits are there for you to consume, to eat, for strength. You can live off of them. Here's the analogy. When you produce fruit in your life, and I'm talking genuine fruit, people live off you without you actually recognizing or realizing that's what's happening. Believers and unbeliever alike draw from you, and you'll notice it. Certain people draw from you. They're eating the fruit that are there, and you don't even know it. So be a producer of the fruits of the Spirit, because you can never get you could, I guess, if people would constantly tell you, "Man, I just love the way I can eat from you or draw from you." Don't let pride make you slide down that slippery slope, make sure you're always clothed with a cloak of humility. So there are unbelievers and believers alike who are literally watching and feeding off the fruit that you produce through the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to abide in the vine, which is Jesus Christ, so we bear much fruit. In verse 24, continuing in, forgot what I had up there, and they that are, oh, it's Galatians, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and its lusts. So why would you want to still walk in that? If Jesus Christ, if you were his, you crucified those things. In verse 25, it again explains it. If we live in the Spirit, that means if you've become born again, you have to make the choice then. Let us also walk in the Spirit. There's a distinction made here between living in the Spirit and between walking in the Spirit. You have to choose to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, that's how you produce much fruit. 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2. This is also very good. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, you arm yourselves with the same mindset. Likewise, with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You say, how is that possible? Have you ever been very sick in bed and the things you used to enjoy, especially the sinful things, you don't care about them? It happens that way. You don't have that desire is gone. But it does come back. But that means that's up to you to crucify it and to fight that spirit as it rises up and tries to get back. Because the spirit always knows what you struggled with in the past. And they come back, those demons, and try again to see if they can still tempt you with the same things that you used to play with and get you down. But arm yourself with the same mindset that he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The prodigal son suffered in the flesh that brought about his repentance. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. But in 1 Peter 4:15, it also warns us of this. Believers, it's warning believers here, but let none of you, none of us, suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Wow. He's addressing believers here, guys. We have to make choices not to do those things. Because Jesus wants to give us plenty. He wants to give us lots, hundredfold, 30, 60, a hundredfold. He's addressing us here. Abide in the vine, and you will bear much fruit. The time is short. Take your relationship with Jesus to the next level, to a new height, and he will cause mighty things to happen through you. The choice is yours and mine. Choose wisely this day whom and how you will serve him. Be deliberate. Say, this day I will choose to follow Jesus. I don't care what you're out. If you say, well, you should be in my shoes, I don't care. We all have bad things happen to us. I make the choice to say, Lord Jesus, I choose to trust you, not what I see, not my circumstance. I choose to trust you. He performs a miracle almost every time. All of a sudden, it's gone. I climb ladders all day. A big part of my day, I run out of strength by noon. I say, Lord Jesus, you need to kick in here. I'm running out of strength. It happens every time. I swear, I get strength. Supernatural, I don't care how. I'm somehow filled with strength that I did not have. I was depleted, sucked dry by a hot sun, humid day, and just done. All of a sudden, I find energy that I didn't have simply because I was obedient to what God has told me to do. Try it. When Satan comes along with something, try God. Try him. See what he'll do. If you are depressed over something, if the loss of a loved one, whatever it is, say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. You say you're going to give me peace and joy. Let me check this out. Either God is a liar or you're not trying that. There's only two choices. Be humble before your God and to your fellow man. Amen and amen. Thank you. I'm going to have Apostle George come up and share a few things, just to, words of encouragement, so feel free. And you want to, he wants a mic. He likes walking around.
How's everybody doing today? Good. Man, you know, I want to just thank you, Pastor James. Like, do you guys really know what you have here? Yeah, like, what a gift, hey? What a gift. And I know he would say, oh, it's not me, it's God. But you know what? We already know it's God, so we got to thank him for letting God use him. Amen? Yeah, sometimes we get so caught up on those things, saying, well, it's not me. Well, it's you being obedient. That's what counts. Amen? And I was saying this, I was asking his title, but he's talking about moving forward and walking with God and following God after you've been in the Spirit, amen? And you know, faith is a substance and the evidence of things hoped for, right? And so the thing is, what happens to a lot of us is that once we reach what we hope for, we think we have arrived. But we have to gauge the faith again and again, faith to faith. And so the biggest problem we have in life is because we reached our hope. We finally reach the promise. Woo, hallelujah, amen. You got to say amen to me because I'm that kind of pastor. Yeah, that's it. You cannot leave me alone here. It does work that way. You got to involve yourself. No, well, I can bake you one. I'm white chocolate, don't worry. There's black in me somewhere. But anyway. So the thing is, don't stop when you arrive, because God has another level of battle, another level of blessing, another level of hope for you. You're never meant to stop in life. Until you leave this earth, you're always meant to move forward. Amen? I had a word a while back, and I think it's for all of us here. And it was Isaiah 41:15. A good friend, apostle of mine, prophesied to me. He's coming to Steinbeck on September, and he prophesied to me. He says, this is what I am, and then I feel God says, this is what you guys are. Just so you know, Daily Life's church cheers you on. We really cheer you on. And we recognize as Daily Life Church that you are a great voice in this community. We recognize that. So I want you to know that. I talk different than he does. I talk different than all of you do. But what you're doing here is very special, and it's very anointed. Amen? Amen. And so Isaiah 41 is starting at 14. I don't know how much time he's going to give me, but I'm going to look at his mean face when it comes, and then... Yeah, okay. Yeah, somebody, you know. So in Isaiah 41:14, it says, fear not the worm, Jacob. Fear not, you worm. Just think about God calling you a worm. You know, just fear not, you worm. And you men of Israel, I will help you, said the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. It's like sometimes we have to realize that we're nothing without Jesus, that we don't really have much at all. Besides, only thing we have as a worm is a place of repentance, a place of saying yes to Jesus. Because really, we were created in God's image. But the enemy took his image and messed with it, with human nature. We never deserve hell, just so you know, because we were created in God's image, but sin and our choices deserve hell. And so when we go back, we remove the worm mentality from us, and we become children of God. Amen? And so that's not the prophecy, though, but I think that goes well with the next verse 15 here. It says, behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. If I don't know if you know a harvester or something, they have these teeth going back and forth. Okay, reaching out ministry, God is imparting sharp teeth into you. You're going to be able to speak in places you never spoke before. You're going to be able to thresh down the enemy like you never have before. You're going to be able to reach like you never have before, because nothing is stopping you. You're becoming a combine for Jesus right now. The harvest is ready, and these teeth are sharpened. I made you a new instrument that will fight through all your battles, win your battles, and be successful in every step you take. Come on, church. I love this. I love this. You shall thresh mountains and beat them to small, and then make the hills as shafts. So first of all, we're going to go mountains, then we're gonna have some hills, then we're gonna make them into shaft. The end result, there's nothing left. What are we willing to do for God's kingdom? Amen. Is that I took this word and say, you know, as tough it is sometimes, especially what I do, it's tough as an apostle. Not Manitoba has not accepted that well yet, okay? And we're choosing to go forward according to Scripture. That's what we're choosing to do. And we're biting down these mountains like you wouldn't believe lately. But anyway, the end result is shaft. And shaft can be burned by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes. Your mountain has to be trashed down right now. These teeth that you're getting is not just for wheat, but it's for dirt in your life. It's for the mess in your life. It's for everything in your life. This is like the highest level steel that cannot be damaged, because that's the power of God. You can go through all things right now in Jesus' name. Especially after that message, you should be going through all things. Amen? Come on, what a gift that I came here today and heard that. We listen to him online a lot too. We just fall in love with James' teaching. And so, verse 16. You shall fan them, and the wind shall carry them away in a whirlwind. Lord, we call in the whirlwind. But you can't call in a whirlwind until you're willing to trash those mountains down and those hills down. Then you call in the whirlwind, amen? And then they shall scatter them, and they shall rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. I know, I wish I could preach longer, because I'm just going to do something anyway. Because I think this is important, that because of what we choose to do, and I believe you're all mature people here, so I can talk like this, is that because you choose, you're going to have a weight of glory on you. And what that weight of glory means is not that you're going to go down like that. The weight of glory means that you have a huge responsibility. When you choose to follow like that message says, you're going to have a responsibility on your life. And that weight of glory, because glory is within you, because the knowledge of Jesus Christ is where the glory starts from. The glory is already there. So if you want more glory, just do more Jesus. Just do more Jesus. Hey, yeah, come on, get excited for Jesus. Get more into Jesus. I think that's the thing that we forget about. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says this, bless we all when we open face, or his presence means his. I talk in tongues when I get mixed up a little bit. I don't know if they do that here. Oh, good. I know. But we will open face, beholding us as glass to the glory of the Lord. Our change, or means transform, into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Same thing with faith to faith. When you choose to take on a weight, God gives you a greater weight. He gives you another level of weight of glory. And then you start seeing experience. Did you know one thing about life is that presence is not really what we always look for? We need presence, but presence leads you to glory. Presence always should lead you into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It should always lead you to the weight of glory. So if you're just going to go around like a vagabond trying to find presence all the time and never ever enter into glory, you're missing out. Then you're just being saved without walking in the Spirit. You're just going, you're a spirit junkie if you do that. You just get drunk, had a good service, go on the next week and do something different. But the fact is, I like getting drunk in the Spirit, but I like staying in His presence. Amen? Amen. So we got to walk into that glory. We got to walk into that glory. And so we need to, because glory carries His image. Because I'm going to show you a verse where it says Jesus has the knowledge of His glory. And so the fact is that if you want to be in His image, you can't just be in His presence. You got to actually live in His image, which is His glory. You get a weight. I have a weight on me. I sacrifice my whole life for what I do. And a lot of you have already. I sacrifice everything. I sold a couple houses just to minister. I sold my motorcycles. I sold everything just to do what I do. And with great pleasure, by the way. Because I have the weight of glory. I have a big responsibility as a leader. And we got to understand that responsibility. We got to walk in that image. Amen? Hallelujah. It's this one verse here I was going to quickly share. 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. I would read a lot more, but Pastor James already preached the message. For God, whom commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. In the presence of Jesus Christ, or in the face of Jesus Christ. So if you really want the glory, you need to get into the face of Jesus Christ. If you really want to move forward, you got to go glory to glory. You can't just sit there and say, and get this one weight. Okay, we got this building now. We're done. Now we can just have a normal service. No, you'll never be normal service. You're always going to have to go to another level of glory. You know, you say, oh, good, we reached our hope. We finally got our own building. No, it's not going to last. It doesn't work that way. And eventually you'll look for a new building. It always goes to another level. You never, ever get comfortable with God because you're a warrior for God. You don't get comfortable with him. You work for him when you walk with the Spirit. And guess what? We actually created to do that, because even this prodigal son came back and he realized who he was. He was actually a son of the Father, right? We were not created for hell. We were created to be sons and daughters of God. We just had to be redeemed by Jesus Christ because of what the enemy fell on this earth and made us worthless because of our choices. And now we got to take the right choice, because the second Adam came, which Corinthians talks about, which is Jesus Christ, and now we can bring back the Garden of Eden here on earth. So if you think about it, the garden was cursed, but God says, now you are my garden. You are my beauty. You are my masterpiece. He recreated the garden because he was the second Adam. And then he created the bride. Come on. Hallelujah. So get ready for what you're doing. I prophesy to you today that I know without a shadow of doubt, with your leaders and you guys here, you're going somewhere, and you're going somewhere great. Do never give up, because God has something moving for you right now. Don't be a seat warmer. Only on Sunday mornings. The rest of the time, you get off. The only reason why you're a seat warmer Sunday mornings is to get equipped to get off of your seats. You're getting equipped to do greater things. What I would love to see, and what I like to talk to my church about, I would like to see your testimonies of each ministries. Do you know what the fivefold ministry really is? It's equipping ministers. You're not a congregation. You're ministers. You're a congregation of ministers. And you are being equipped greatly here to be great ministers out there.